And I met a lot of Iraqis, and I'll tell you, man, they're a lot smarter than most of the people I know. They're all like scientists and professors, and they're like, I mean, those people were prolific and interesting, and there was some cute chicks. And it was
cute Iraqi chicks?
There was, dude. There's some really hot chicks with olive skin and dark black hair, and they were nice, and everybody was happy, and the Kurdish women wore all kind of crazy, colorful clothing and were dancing outside. And
this is kind of like the brain drain you're talking about, that all the, it sounds like the scientists and all the artists and everything got out.
I'm telling you, man, there's this one dude, Dia, who was, he was an artist, but he was also like a translator for like political events and stuff. Nah, man, they were some super sharp people. I was, you know, it's kind of sad what we're doing over there. And then I go and I meet, you know, nobody, I mean, who knows Iraqis? How many people know Iraqis? Not too many people. You ask, hey, how many Iraqis you know? Nobody.
That's what impressed me about all the people who suddenly became very excited about the idea of liberating Iraq, that it's very important that we save Iraq from itself, from Saddam Hussein. Yet before that, I never heard anybody whisper a word regarding Iraq.
Right,
you don't
right.
know any Iraqis. You don't care about the Iraqi people. You're so full of shit.
Right, man. I mean, you want to help people, help them, but hey, man, that's not helping them. Come on.
I'm, it's, what is today? Anybody know? January the, no, it's not the second. What is
oh,
it?
Oh, the third.
January
the third. Oh, my mistake.
The Woo. First Kill Radio News for me this year. I'm joined by some guests. Marcel, introduce yourself.
My name is Marcel Dujour, and we got
Marcel of the day?
No, actually, it's different spelling. Ah. D-E-J-U-R-E. But
and we're
whatever.
Also joined by DJ Chicken Leather.
Bark, bark.
Excellent. Iraq body count for today, according to IraqBodyCount.net, number of civilians reported killed by military intervention in Iraq, minimum 27,707, maximum 31,232.
What does that mean? You're supposed to just pick a number in there, or is that just somebody's roughing it? So what is it really?
it's one of those things where it's like, well, you know, they said 10 people got killed, but we only found 6 bodies, so...
It sounds like a sliding tax scale for you or something, yeah?
I brought some media file today. We're going to watch or listen together for John Stewart and his little stint on Crossfire, which is one of my favorite moments in the media. And we'll talk a little bit about... the media and how they can't really do anything right. Not including Kill Radio, of course, because we're perfect. And what else? Oh, that jackass, Abramoff. Would you believe it turns out he is dirty? I mean, who knew? Who knew? And some of his friends, too, apparently. would you guess, DeLay?
No.
Yeah, so we're going to read an article about that that, as depressing as it is, made me laugh. Why don't we start out by sharing the little John Stewart interview? We can get our thoughts together, and then we'll chat it up in a few minutes. So this is John Stewart on Crossfire. This is like, I think this was sometime in early 2004. Crossfire's not even on the air anymore. Hopefully the media...
Oh, you're kidding. Really? They took it off the air?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a bad show to begin with. I mean, both those guys are still working.
Yeah, but
they
don't have
the
show anymore.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
And I'd like to think that
I think
maybe
he
this
actually,
had something to do with it.
Yeah, I think it was, too, because he actually was looking at it and says... I think that was the one where they said, no, I'm not going to be your monkey to jump through a hoop. Is
yeah.
this the one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
oh, this is a great
one. This is
one
of my favorite moments in media history. So hopefully the Kill Radio computer won't let me down once again.
Actually, you really know when it's good when you see this on 60 Minutes when they're interviewing Jon Stewart about something else. They
yeah.
showed this one, and it actually was like, oh, my God, they actually did all right, man. Because
well,
you don't think of CBS
point,
going anywhere.
The greatest right. point that he makes is they're trying to criticize him, and he has to keep reminding them that he does a comedy show.
Yeah.
And that's really – when and it's true. When you feel like you're getting the most honesty out of your news from a comedic
comedy
satire
show, yeah.
show
yeah.
and I really do feel that I get the best news
oh,
from
yeah,
the Daily
absolutely.
Show, then you're in a pretty serious situation. So let's see if this plays.
Welcome back to Crossfire. As both of our loyal viewers, of course, know, our show is all about left versus white, black versus white, paper versus plastic, Red Sox against the Yankees. That's why every day we have two guests with their own unique perspective on the news. But today, Crossfire is very different. We have just one guest. He's either the funniest smart guy on TV or the smartest funny man. We'll find out which in a minute. But he's certainly an Emmy Award winner, the host of Comedy Central's Daily Show, and the co-author of the new mega bestseller, America the Book, A Citizen's Guide to Inaction, at your bookstores everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crossfire, John Stewart.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's very kind of you to say. Now what? Can I say something very quickly? Why do we have to fight? The two of you, can't we just say something nice about John Kerry right now?
I like John. I care about John Kerry.
And something about President Bush.
He'll be unemployed soon.
I failed
the
test.
I made the effort anyway.
No, actually, I knew Bush in Texas a little bit. And truth is, he's actually a great guy. He's not a very good president, but he's actually a very good person. I don't think you should have to hate to oppose somebody, but it makes it easier.
Why do you argue, the two of you? I hate to see it.
We enjoy it.
Let me ask you a question.
Wait, let me ask you a question first.
All right.
Is John Kerry really the best? I mean, I think, you know, John Kerry's done a terrible
best,
guy.
Like,
is he the best?
No. I thought Lincoln was good.
Is he the best the Democrats can do?
Yeah, this year. I'd always thought in a democracy, and again, I don't know, I've only lived in this country, that there's a process, what they call them, primaries.
Right.
And they don't always go with the best, but they go with whoever won. So is he the best? According to the process.
Right, but of the nine guys running, who do you think was best? Do you think he was the best? The most impressive?
The most impressive?
Yeah.
I thought Al Sharpton was very impressive. I enjoyed his way of speaking. I think oftentimes the person that knows they can't win is allowed to speak the most freely, and because otherwise shows with titles such as Crossfire, or Hardball, or I'm gonna kick your ass, or we'll jump on it. In many ways, it's funny, you know, and I made a special effort to come on the show today because I have privately amongst my friends and also in occasional newspapers and television shows mentioned this show as being bad.
I felt
that wasn't fair, and I should come here and tell you that I don't. It's not so much that it's bad as it's hurting America. So I wanted to
but
come here today
let me,
and say...
Wait. No,
just,
let me,
here's just one, what I wanted to tell you guys.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop hurting America.
Okay, now...
Come work you. For us, because we, as the people...
How do you pay?
The people, not well.
Better than CNN, I'm sure.
But you can sleep at night. See, the thing is, we need your help. You're right now. You're helping the politicians and the corporations, and we're left out there to mow our lawns.
You just said we're too rough on them when they make mistakes.
No. You're not too rough on them. You are part of their strategies. You're partisan. What do you call it? Hacks.
Wait, John. Wait. Let me tell you something valuable that I think we do that I'd like to see you
something
do.
Valuable.
You do. Yeah. No. Well, it's
I would
nice
like
when
to, I would
when
like
politicians
to hear it.
When and I'll tell you when politicians come on.
Yeah.
It's nice to get them to try and answer the question. And in order to do that, we try and ask them pointed questions. I want to contrast our questions with some questions you asked John Kerry.
If you want to compare your show to a comedy show, you're more than welcome
to. Here's the point.
If that's your goal...
No, it's not.
I wouldn't aim for us. I'd aim for
here's
Seinfeld.
The problem.
That's
Kerry
a very good show.
Kerry won't come on this show. He will come on your show. Let me suggest why he wants to.
Well, we have
show.
Civilized discourse.
Well, here's an example of civilized discourse. Here are three of the questions you asked John Kerry.
Yeah.
You have a chance to interview the Democratic nominee. You ask him a question such as, quote, how are you holding up? Is it hard not to take the attacks personally?
Yeah.
Have you ever flip-flopped, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
Didn't you feel like you got the chance to interview the guy? Why not ask him a real question instead of just suck up to him?
Yeah, how are you holding up is a real suck-up. And I actually was giving him a hot stone massage.
It sounded that way.
As we were doing it.
It did.
You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about
I felt
my responsibility
you.
To the, you know, I didn't realize that, and maybe this explains quite a bit.
No, the opportunity.
Is that the news organizations look to Comedy Central for their cues on integrity. So what I would suggest is, when you talk about you're holding politicians' feet to the fire, I think that's disingenuous. I think you're...
How are you holding up? I mean, come on.
No. I don't, but my role isn't, I don't
you
think.
You can ask him a real question, don't you think? Instead of saying, you know.
I don't think I have to. By the way, I also asked him, you know, were you in Cambodia? But I didn't really care. Because I don't care. Because I think
I can
it's
tell.
Stupid.
Well, but
my point is this. if your idea of confronting me is that I don't ask hard-hitting enough news questions, we're in bad shape, fellas.
We're here to love you, not confront you.
No, but what I'm saying is this. I'm not. I'm here to confront you because we need help from the media, and they're hurting us. And it's now, the idea
if
is...
If the indictment is... Like, let me get this straight. If the indictment is... if the indictment is, and I have seen you say this, that crossfire reduces everything, as I said in the intro, to left, right, black, white.
Yes.
Well, it's because, see, we're a debate show. It's like saying the Weather Channel
reduces that'd be great.
To a storm.
I would love to see a debate show.
30 minutes in a 24-hour day where we have each side on as best we can
get
them.
That would be great.
And have them fight it out.
To do a debate would be great, but that's like saying pro wrestling is a show about athletic competition.
I think you're a good comedian. I think your lectures are boring. Let me ask you a question on the news.
Now, this is theater. I mean, it's obvious. How old are you?
35.
And you wear a bow tie.
Yeah, I do.
So this is...
No, I know.
So
you're right. Let me just go. Now, come on.
Listen, I'm not suggesting that you're not a smart guy, because those are not easy to tie. But the thing is that this, you're doing theater when you should be doing debate, which would be great.
You do no, it's not
pro. Honest. What you do is not honest. What you do is partisan hackery. And I'll tell you why I know
Kerry
it.
You on your show, and you sniff his throne, and you're accusing us of partisan hackery?
Absolutely.
You've got to be kidding, man.
You're on CNN. The show that leads into me is puppets making crank phone calls. What is wrong with you?
Well, I'm just saying, there's no reason for you, when you have this marvelous opportunity not to be the guy's butt boy, to go ahead and be his butt boy.
Yes,
it's embarrassing.
I was absolutely his butt boy. I was so far. You would not believe what he ate 2 weeks ago. You know, the interesting thing that I have is, you have a responsibility to the public discourse, and
you
fail
need to get a job at a
miserably.
School, I think.
You need to go to one. The thing that I want to say is, when you have people on for just knee-jerk, reactionary talk...
Wait, I thought you were going to be funny. Come on. Be funny.
No, I'm not going to be your monkey.
Go ahead.
I watch your show every day, and it kills me.
I can tell you love
it. It's so painful to watch. You know, because we need what you do. This is such a great opportunity you have here to actually get politicians off of their marketing and strategy. Yeah, it's someone who watches your show and cannot take it anymore. I just can't.
What's it like to have dinner with you? It must be excruciating. Do you like lecture people like this? Or do you come over to their house and sit and lecture them? And, you know, they're not doing the right thing, that they're missing their opportunities, evading their responsibilities?
If I think they are.
Look, I wouldn't want to eat with you, man. That's horrible.
I know, and you won't. But the thing
we did promise naked pictures of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, we did. No. Let's get to those.
Why can't we just talk? Please, I beg of you guys. Please.
I think you watch too much Crossfire. We're going to take a quick
break. No, hold on.
We've got commercials.
Please.
Next,
please stop
in the rapid fire.
Please,
hopefully
stop.
He'll be here. We hope. We think. And then, did U.S. soldiers refuse an order in Iraq? Will Splitzer has the latest on this investigation right after the break.
I'm Will Splitzer in Washington. Coming up at the top of the hour,
comes back in a just about a 30 seconds. Little CNN break. It's good stuff, though, huh?
It's great to see this. Wow, and realize that this was just last year. We look at it, and it's historical footage, right?
More than last. I mean, it was 2004. We're in 2006
but
now.
Still,
this is before the election.
It always seems like last year. We always think of Bush as like he's already out, and he's still there for another year of shenanigans at least.
Yeah.
So.
And again,
I'm thinking he's never going to get out of it. Well, it's funny because he sidesteps everything. He's like laughing, going, "Oh, do you think those guys are really going to ever get around to impeaching me?" He says, "I can lie to him about the fucking war. I can lie to him about spying on him. They're never going to catch me." And he might be right because he controls all the power and the oil string, and of course the body that would impeach him or get to it. And I think the Supreme Court, who actually got an election, I'll shut up and let you.
We're back.
Provide you better material.
I'm sorry.
Which candidate do you suppose would provide you better material if he won?
Mr. T. I think he'd be the funniest.
Would you have a stake in it that way, not just a citizen, but as a professional comic?
Right, which I hold to be much more important than as a citizen.
Well, there you go. Who would provide you better material, I suppose?
I don't really know. It's kind of not how we look at it. We look at the absurdity of the system provides us the most material, and that is best served by sort of the theater of it all, you know, which, by the way, thank you both, because it's been helping.
But if Kerry gets elected, is it good? I mean, you said you're voting for him. You obviously support him. It's clear. Will it be harder for you to mock his administration if he becomes president?
Now, why would it be harder?
Because
the only way it would be harder is if his administration is less absurd than this one. So in that case, if it's less absurd, then yeah, I think it'd be harder. But I mean, it'd be hard to top this group. I mean, quite frankly, in terms of absurdity and their world matching up to the one that, you know, it was interesting. President Bush was saying, you know, John Kerry's rhetoric doesn't match his record. But I've heard President Bush describe his record. His record doesn't match his record. So, you know, I don't worry about it in that respect. But let me ask you guys again a question, because we talked a little bit about, you know, you're actually doing honest debate and all that. But after the debates, where do you guys head to right afterwards?
The men's room.
Right after that?
Right, home.
Spin Alley.
Home?
No, Spin Alley.
What are you talking about? I mean, at these debates?
Yeah, you go to Spin Alley, the place called Spin Alley.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't you think that for people watching at home, that's kind of a drag, that you're literally walking to a place called Deception Lane? Like, it's Spin Alley. It's don't you see that's the issue I'm trying to talk to you guys?
No, I actually believe, I had a lot of friends who worked for President Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I went to college with
neither
someone.
Of us was ever in the spin room, actually.
I went to Larry King's show. They actually believe what right. they're saying. They want to persuade you. That's what they're trying to do by spinning. But I don't doubt for a minute these people who work for President Bush, who I disagree with and everything, they
right.
believe that stuff, John. This is not
here's
a
what
lie
I think.
Or deception at all.
I think
they believe,
believe
in him.
I think they believe,
just like I believe in my guys.
I think they believe President Bush would do a better job. And I believe the Kerry guys believe President Kerry would do a better job. But what I believe is they're not making honest arguments. So what they're doing is, in their mind, the ends justify
John,
the means.
I hate to say that at all. I do think you're more fun on your show. Just my opinion.
But
John Stewart goes one on one with his fans.
You're as big a dick on your show as you are on any show.
Now you're getting into it. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Eastern.
So that's pretty much it. There's a little segment at the end where he takes a few questions, but it's not nearly as entertaining because he basically just doesn't want to answer the questions. So let's talk about this, even though it's not, you know, what one might call news anymore because it's past. But
talking about Jon Stewart, I don't when they've so see that's the deal. It's like they're not talking about the real thing. What should we really be talking about is like you let it off with a body count. It's the fact that it's like. His policy, John Stewart's policies aren't getting anybody killed, but basically President Reagan's policies are getting at least how many people killed in Iraq and how many people from here getting killed for the policies that really don't, you know, I personally.
I mean, do you mean that literally Reagan's policies?
Reagan's policies. Reagan's and now Bush.
His policy has trickled down.
Some guy that's dead already from 20 years ago is still affecting the economy, which is really sick as shit.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the thing is interesting about this is, you know, you always wonder, okay, if someone would just get on national television and say it like it is, maybe something would change. And someone got on national television, in my opinion, pretty much told the way it is. I mean, there is not honest debate going on in the major news media.
No.
Yet nothing has changed that I'm aware of. Can you guys think of any, like, major change? I mean, it was just last week or 2 weeks ago that for the very first time, since 2000, like... First time I heard the word impeachment
right.
in any context
mm-hmm.
used on national television. It had to do with the fact that...
Besides the guys that get out there every you know, 4 or 5 months and you know they protest on Hollywood Boulevard and they talk about impeachment and stuff. And
I haven't
goes,
seen them on national
are they?
Television.
Yeah, you'll never see them on national television. You know, they drive out the Bush regime and all those stuff. We've got stuff in here from 2005 and... The other room's got stuff from 2004, and they got stuff from 2000. So it's not so much that they're not people out there. It's just that I think, seriously, the last election, they all got together on at least in the same room. They weren't on the same page, but they got in the same room and discussed, like, hey, anything we can do to get us all together and vote against this guy. And I think they actually won, but the thing was the machines they were using weren't actually counting. They had already been pre-programmed with the winner.
Yeah,
and
well,
there's
all sorts of
maybe
reasons why we didn't, you know, technically win. But there are bigger reasons too. You still can't deny that there's this huge portion of people who actually did go out and actually did vote for Bush, and it's because they're watching Fox and they're seeing it as a source of news and a source of information, and they're basing it on that. They're basing it on dishonest debate. I don't know, Marcel. What do you think?
Well, I think that. It goes back to blue blood, man. I think he's a blue blood, and I think he's from a long line of blue blood that goes all the way back to England, and that he's got an invincible... he's able to say and do whatever he wants. And I think a lot of people would rather stay inside and watch their TVs and put their little microwave on and not deal with it. But I think he's, I mean, just his whole lineage and what they sort of do, as they do whatever they want, and they're allowed to do whatever they want. And, you know, I don't know if people are necessarily, like, I think people basically are, it's just like an ostrich, man. They put their head in the sand and they don't want to deal with it.
So they hear what they want to hear.
People don't want to, like, I just think they don't want to deal with it. I think they're content to have their nice pickup trucks or whatever and do their, you know, just, I don't know. I mean, it's people go to church and they talk about all this goodwill and this and that. And I think it's all a smokescreen. I don't think people really are, like, Dad chose not to deal with it. It's much easier not to deal with it. I think people are afraid to, you know, I got recently, I Earthlings constantly calling me up, trying to sell me things. So I got them off my back by telling them, well, the current political administration is causing me such financial crisis that there's no way I could ever upgrade my technology with the direction that we're going in. They stopped calling me. It worked. Well, but every time someone calls me, I get these stupid calls from the police department and stuff asking me for donations for things. And then I say, I would really love to donate money. I really like what you guys are doing out there, but unfortunately now with Arnold Schwarzenegger in office and George Bush in office, it's impossible for me. The financial crisis this is causing me, and with their decisions that they're making, and I say that I constantly, every conversation I have with anybody that asks me for money over the phone or through the internet, I constantly credit George W. Bush and Arnold Schwarzenegger for ruining my life. And usually they leave me alone after that. And I truly believe that, though.
Well, I mean, let's talk about this fear. I mean, we're talking on an internet radio station. We can say whatever we want. We're talking about leftist politics, but not even just that. We're talking about just facts. And we're just playing something from CNN, which is not, you know, the greatest source of facts. It's probably better, certainly better than Fox and a lot of the other ones out there. So, you know, this fear of getting the real information as opposed to the polished turd of information that we're used to getting. You know, do you think something like a liberal news source could survive on national television, or would it just get attacked? I mean, I think people are afraid of being attacked by the administration and being, you know, compared to communists.
Historically, you can look back at things that were, and I'm not saying they were left, but they were a little left of center, like shows on PBS. Shows on, you know, NPR, they're always having, not only, first of all, do they have to grumble to get your money.
Right.
I mean, they do a great idea of fundraising and stuff.
But every year they have their bag drive.
Yeah, but then when they do get all their funding and stuff, I mean, they're okay. But when they get to that point, everybody always is like, hey, the world's falling apart. Who do you tune to? NPR. Because you know it's going to be, oh, is it left of center? No, it's really the news. I mean, the tsunami, boom, everybody was on NPR. Everybody was on, you know, whatever it is, KPCC or whatever, KCRW. I mean, we can mention them. What is it, Nick Food Court or whatever? And not, oh, those are the people that do that. But you can mention those guys. And it's nothing that we don't feel like they're aliens or anything to us. But you really do get something level-headed. Now, I really can't understand how people can listen to this that are right wing. What are they doing listening to this? Aren't there enough AM stations out there that are proliferating that they have to start bothering NPR about, like, ooh, they're taking all our money with all these things? Look, I hate to break it to them. That money is so far down the line. They're giving grants to guys that do things with whatever in museums before it even gets to NPR at some point. But what I'm trying to say is they are not the left, in my opinion. They're somewhere out there because they play everybody's story. I mean, I don't care. I've heard everything from the left criticize them to the right criticize them. They're pretty much like somewhere just a little bit left of center, if they're even left of center.
But if they were blatantly on the left, would they be able to survive?
They're so hassle. I think what you saw with something like, Air America couldn't even pay bills after a while. And they were pretty left, but it's kind of funny. They were still surviving, and they're still on.
They're still there.
They're back. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to question yourself. There is a market for it. It's just that most of the people on the left, I have to admit it, are a little more financially challenged than people on the right.
And also, but if you think about it, conservatives will they will allow their own personal, like, even if they get totally extreme and then they're not accepted by the masses, they'll bow down and let the next guy in, and they'll back each other up. Whereas liberals, being independent thinkers, aren't necessarily going to back each other up because they're independently they're actually thinking. A lot of whatever liberals, whatever the label is, are going to think. They're going to think, if you're thinking independently, it kind of, you can get to a point where there might be another guy that's thinking independently, and you guys have both given this label of being liberal or whatever the label is, and you might not totally see eye to eye on things. So the conservatives have a way of sticking together, even if they don't.
They don't need the integrity to glue them together.
They want to be in charge, and they're willing to bow down to be in charge. But if it wasn't just this financial goal, this sort of greed-driven motivation, then, you know, it's all like kind of motivated by greed and power. And this, like, kind of like blind faith. But if you're like actually a, you know, free thinker, you read Christian Science Monitor, you read whatever Prevention and all these other publications, and you pull your information sources from like varied places, you know, then you're kind of like you're gonna think independently, and you're not necessarily gonna get together with a bunch of people that think independently, because eventually there's some like friction. Like around here, the stories I hear about the meetings here, there's all these people that are expressing their views, and they end up like stepping on each other's toes in that, which is kind of cool that there's actually a place where people can like feel
toes. We kick each other's ass. That's the problem.
I'm being nice for once. After all the shit I talked earlier and all
that
crap,
it's like the House of Commons at a Kill Radio meeting.
Yeah. So in a way, the idea that you actually use your own brain, they're kind of dangerous, man.
But it is dangerous because the liberals need a reason to vote for someone. This is how Gore lost the election in 2000, because people were like, "Well, we can't just vote for him because
he was kicking ass for a second. He had some balls, and then he kind of like." He mellowed out.
No, but in the end,
he was kind of sad.
In the end, he wasn't good enough for the bulk of liberals to really go after. Like the hatred of liberalism that conservatives have far outweighs their belief in conservatism.
Yeah,
like
Bush
is not a conservative leader by any stretch of the imagination. He's the figurehead on this bizarre little cult that they created, these neocons, and they're doing wacky things with what was once considered conservatism. But the Republicans don't give a shit about that. The Republicans just hate the Democrats so much that, you know, regular educated people are voting for Bush because, not because of anything he did, not because of the war in Iraq or because they believe in him, but because he's not the other guy.
Yeah.
Because their hatred of liberalism and their hatred of their fear of the truth far outweighs any sort of, you know, intelligent thought processes that they would, you know, waste their time dealing with.
You know, I think like if everybody, when they got out of high school, if everybody was forced to get out of this country and go visit another country, wherever, man. Europe,
Bush had
whatever.
To become president and, to do that.
That's an interesting concept because you really do get a perspective on world events.
If you travel and you check other stuff out, I for a long time, any chance I got, I would get out of here. Wherever I went, New York, Chicago, went out to Europe, I went hung out in Eastern Europe, and you hear all these like things about people. People don't expose themselves to new ideas. They don't try new things out. They get really hung up in their thing. Even if you're like liberal, you're vegetarian or whatever it is, people get really like they get locked into this thing and they play this part instead of like experiencing life. Like, hey, there's a world out there. There's culture. There's things. There's all these things you could do with your life. There's all these people you could experience and meet and learn new ideas. People don't travel, man. And that's, I mean, I just saw Motorcycle Diaries the other night. And, man, I was like, I got to travel again. And I got to figure out a cost-effective way to go see other people and other things. And, man, I like it. I lived in this neighborhood here in Silver Lake. I've lived here for 41 years. I was here before it was cool. I don't think it's so cool right now. I think some people should put down their cocaine straws, man, personally. Start, like, just going out there and doing something real. And I think people are really boxed in and don't experience life. I think they breathe and they walk down the street and they agree with what they agree with. And a lot of people are super passionate about what they don't like. I don't really hear people go, that's fucking cool. That's bitching. They know what they don't like. They talk a lot of shit about things they don't like. And they're really passionate about their hatred. And that's liberals. That's everybody. People know what they don't like. They know more about what they don't like than what they love.
Because you need information to love something. You don't need a lot of information to hate something. You need one little piece of information that you can sort of stretch out over your entire knowledge of it so that it's overblown, it's big. I mean, that's like the that's how racism functions. It's like you hear one bad thing about a race, and you go, well, you stretch that out over the entire people that make up that race, and you go, man, I really hate that thing about them. But if you knew, like, a million things about that race, you wouldn't be able to say, oh, I hate the such and suches, you know?
I also think
it would
people
start to get to be like your race, then, and you realize, well, I got problems with my race, too.
Yeah, I got criminals, I got, you know, whatever. Speaking of criminals, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the news right now. I mean, this is sort of, politics and philosophy aside, there's some major laws being broken by the government, and still the people who support Bush are sort of blindly going along with, well, he's our president, we got to support him. But there's some major laws being broken right now. Last 2 weeks, the talk was all about spying on Americans, and even though we have a system in place for getting court orders for spying on Americans, they just didn't feel like using it and figure, well, if the president does it, then it can't be illegal. And that's a whole raft of shit right there. But the news today is about this clown, Jack Abramoff, and a lobbyist who has basically been caught bribing officials, not for attention or anything like that, but for actual things, actual government acts. So I'm going to read a little bit from the AP today about what's happened here. It says, Jack Abramoff, the lobbyist who spawned a congressional corruption scandal, pleaded guilty Tuesday to three felonies and pledged to cooperate in a criminal probe edging closer to former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, who's been... Hassan has come to join us. Hello, Hassan.
Oh, hi. I was listening to the news, too, about Abramoff, and...
How often has DeLay been indicted? It's more than once, isn't it? It's three indictments.
Well, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
You mean he's had three indictments, but this is the first time they all happened at one time.
Well, there's three indictments on DeLay, and now they have Abramoff, who is supposedly cooperating with the government, who's caught him bribing, and he's... The anticipation is that he's going to say, oh, and one of the people I bribed is Tom DeLay.
No, I was just listening to Air America before I came in, and they're talking about giving Abramoff 30 years. He's not going to get it. They say if he just lists a lot of names, he might get 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. And then if he lists more names, he can just pay a huge fine. They said people in D.C. are really scared right now. They said there's even some Democrats who he bought some favors off of, but it's mostly Republicans. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next 2 or 3 years. But the one thing that that really irks me, John, is we know it'll get right to the front door of the White House. You know, it'll get right to the fucking...
It won't cross
over the
threshold.
Yeah, it'll get right to the fucking front door of the White House, really. And we know that Bush is just as guilty as chicken leather. You know, seriously, I mean...
Well, what is this magic power that he has to deflect the truth?
Yeah, but chicken leather isn't killing anybody, man. He's just going on bike rides and being an asshole
until he plays his music.
But what does he have to do? Does he have to have... seriously, what does he have to do to... You know, lose this magic shield that protects him from any shit landing on him.
You know, when our forefathers, the founding fathers, the way they set this government up, John, you know, and these guys were all brilliant, even though they were slaveholders, but they were brilliant, and they set it up so the president cannot be touched. I mean, Nixon, Dan Rather, who got the goods on Nixon, Dan Rather said one of this not too long before he died. He said, "You know, I mean, I wouldn't mind having a beer with Nixon, but the man should have went to jail, and he should have. But presidential privilege. I mean, what do you call it? Amnesty or presidential
diplomatic immunity?
Yeah,
or, no, said, that's for foreigners."
Rather said, "If Nixon had been near you, he would have went to jail for what he did." You know, and with George Bush's...
Well, wasn't the system initially set up, though, so that we didn't have this problem? So that there's a series of checks and balances so that the judiciary makes sure the executive branch doesn't, you know, do what it's been doing and, you know, legislative branch doesn't, so on and so forth.
Well, I don't want to steal too much of your show, but I mean...
No, this you're part of the show now, man.
No. The thing is, I didn't really understand what impeachment... I took a political science class in college, but I think I flunked it. But I mean,
you should run for president.
Yeah, I thought that when you... I thought that when you impeach somebody, they were out of office. Like, Clinton was actually impeached, but they didn't make him leave. Yeah, so I thought...
It's an official slap on the wrist.
Yeah,
it's
I thought you had to leave, too. So, I mean, I'm kind of...
It's officially being embarrassed is what impeachment means.
It's not like you're French and you were...
Hey, watch it there.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, it's not like it's Napoleonic era, and you're Napoleon, and you named yourself emperor, and then after it's all over, they sort of ban you to Corsica. But that has a great ring to it. If they could ban them to like maybe the Virgin Islands. Oh, you see, I hate to export this somewhere.
Hold on one second. A little later on. I got a story to tell you about some crazy stuff. Not here now, maybe down the road. My dad's doing some research about like this crazy stuff that happened. It's called the Paris Commune, and they didn't teach it to anybody in school. But a lot of people were slaughtered. Like I think it's like the 1600s, and he's got this. He's been reading all these books and finding out all this information. And we'll get back to what we're doing now, but. The Paris Commune, if anybody has any information on it, my dad's doing research on it, and it's insane. All these like 16,000 people were slaughtered, but it's never taught in the history books. And it's some crazy, crazy thing where they were setting up a certain form of government that was more on a socialist level, and these people just they came in and they just slaughtered them. And it was like working successfully for like 6 months. And I don't have enough information to go into it, but when I do, maybe I'll bring my pops down here, and he'll lay some information on you that'll blow your mind.
In the meantime, our government just leaks dirty information about you.
Yeah, I was going to say that seems like right now everybody was so shocked about the torture, and then all these other reports came out about torture before then, and it was like. People were just like not even fazed. It was like the next day it was like, well, I got to get to that sale at Walmart. It's like, well, wait a minute, man. We're talking about people being killed in your name.
Yeah.
And they're going, well, that wasn't in my name or something.
Well, two things about that. One is like, you know, the picture of what happened to Abu Ghraib, like what we saw. If they're taking a picture, that means they're taking a break from torturing to take a picture. So
right.
Whatever it is that actually happened is far worse than anything that reached our eyes. And on top of that, the fact that we're not hearing about it a lot is proof, in my opinion, or at least evidence, that it's so bad. When was the last time you heard anything about Africa? Right? I mean, how we just sort of generally have an understanding that the place is in constant turmoil with AIDS and civil wars and everything like that, and it's so bad that it doesn't even qualify as news anymore, because what makes something news is that it's unusual, it's rare. It's like, oh, we have to report this because
Darfur is like, you know, only when people are dying and there's so much killing that they send out even people like Connie Rice gets out there, Condoleezza Rice, and starts saying, "Hey, we got to do something about this." And you notice that
it's got to reach a certain level.
Yeah, and
to
even
pay attention to it at
and
all.
And then they just give up. It's like I can only tell so many people about the same story, and it's like.
But that's what's happening in Iraq. Yeah. It's like it's a constant every day. You know, this blew up, that blew up. These people died. Those people died. And it's like, oh well, I figured the war was over when Bush landed on that fucking aircraft carrier in May of 2003. But no, apparently it's still going.
He wanted it to be over, and in his mind, it is over, and he's just cleaning up now.
Yeah.
For the next 40 years or whatever.
Yeah, and they have one, you know, one election under military occupation, and suddenly they're free. I mean, it's like, What a disaster. Back to Abramoff and what an asshole he is. In one case, he reported payments totaling $50,000 to the wife of a congressional aide to help block legislation for a client, according to the Associated Press. The aide worked for delay, according to officials who spoke on condition of anonymity. Public corruption aside, Abramoff admitted defrauding four Indian tribes, another American tradition, and other clients, taking millions in kickbacks from a one-time business partner, misusing a charity he had established, and failing to pay income taxes on millions of ill-gotten gains. They're invincible. They think they can get away with it, and, you know, who's going to stop them? I wanted to scroll down this article a little bit and see what some of the other things that he's gotten away with. I was listening to it on the radio, and it's just like, all sorts of favors and thousands of dollars. Made a $10,000 donation to the National Republican Campaign Committee.
And it'd be one thing if it was his own money, but basically
it's other people's money. Yeah,
it's your tax money that's actually going to pay this thing. What do you think? He's going to take it from his own personal slush fund?
Mm-hmm.
No, this is probably tax money that he got from somewhere else that he weaseled out of some other thing that was either... and I hate to say it, teaching somebody something or feeding kids or you know, probably Africa. And now it's gone into this machine. And it'd be one thing if the money was like library money. So if you buy a library book, it teaches people what the library book was, and it comes back like about tenfold. This money just goes into somebody's pocket and it dies. It's like building a bomb. You build the bomb gets built, you support those people to build the bomb, and then it just sits there on a shelf. It doesn't generate things like
probably leaks toxic dust and poisons
that,
the water.
That dollar just locks itself in, whereas a dollar that you give to somebody or a dollar that you donate to something comes back to you like tenfold. That's why I'm talking about things like, you know, organizations or even people like Kill Radio. You know, that I know it doesn't seem like we do it, but a dollar to us will go out into the community like about 10 or 20 fold. I mean, you know, we'll buy one thing that finances or gives this guy another 10 minutes of life, while a dollar towards this doesn't go that far. Anyway, I digress.
No, it's not a digression at all. Abramoff contradicted statements by Representative Bob Ney, a crazy person from Ohio, who's the go-to guy on this whole issue at the moment. Republican who accepted a golfing trip to Scotland in 2002 with the knowledge that the lobbyist's Indian clients were paying for it. Ney is not mentioned by name, but his identity is clear from a description of his committee chairmanship. Ney issued a statement saying, "At the time I dealt with Jack Abramoff, I obviously did not know and had no way of knowing the self-serving and fraudulent nature of his activities." Could be a lie, could be the truth.
It sounds like a non-denial denial.
What is it? Absence of proof is not proof of absence?
It's a non-denial denial. We saw, I think the first time I ever heard this was when I was a kid and there was the Watergate hearings. And I had to ask somebody, what is a non-denial denial about?
Yeah, but you know, if you're smart enough to get yourself all the way up into that high position, then come on now. Come on now. If I'm standing in front of a junkie, he's a junkie. And I know he's a junkie. I've walked around these streets long enough. I've been in enough places. You know, if you're standing in front of someone and you're going to tell me you don't know what they're about and you're dealing with them, come on now. How long were you dealing with them? How stupid are you? How stupid do you think we are? It's bullshit. He knew who he's dealing with. You know, when you're exchanging money and you're doing business with people, okay, there's once in a while, but it's... these guys, you know, not recalling, and you know,
when you're a congressman in another country,
you're paid to know
golf, and
you're paid
snorting
to know.
Caviar off a hooker's breast. They don't love you.
You worked at McDonald's and you overcooked the fries too much. They fire you. Come on now.
Pay attention.
If you're doing a job, do it right. And these guys are like, you know, they're juggling silliness.
Wait a minute. Snorting coke off a hooker's breast? What was that?
That's a caviar.
Is that something we can get here at Kill Radio?
No, but it's true. Like when I was reading this article at the last.
That sounds like Kiss FM. I don't know about you guys.
last time I did the news, I was reading this article about the sort of trips that Delay writes up on his expense account, And they're these lavish trips of, like, you know, $10,000 a night at this hotel and, like, all these fancy restaurants, you know, $150 a plate and all this stuff. And this is Republican National Committee money that he's spending. It's not, like, it's not his own personal money.
Well, yeah, you know what? During the I'd heard this statistic this years ago, but during a Republican convention, prostitution is at its highest earning.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
They even love differently.
So like, all these good Christians, man, like, they're all so these, giving to
all these
good,
poor women, death penalty loving Christians,
money to maintain their clothing for a night.
All these anti-women rights, pro-death penalty, warmongering, Christ-loving Christians. Speaking of Christ, Bush pushes for Patriot Act renewal, which is the other big thing in the news today. It's funny, the headline says Bush pushes, because it's like he doesn't actually do anything as a president. He doesn't, he doesn't work in an executive capacity. He just pushes ideas on people. Like, he had to push the war on us, you know, and now he has to push renewing the Patriot Act on us. What do you guys think about that?
Well, what he does is he does it when everybody's on vacation, and then they come back and discuss. He diverts all the real attention to something else. So it's like, we should be talking about the war, and then he diverts it into talking about, like, hey, did you hear about Kerry's record? Yeah, he kicked all those people off the boat. And we're going, well, we're talking about the war you started. No. Let's talk about this 30-year-old war. And it's that kind of thing. And it's like, that's more important to know that we're going to entrust the nation to this. And we're going, well, wait a second, why don't you look at what's going on right now?
Yeah, I mean, see,
that's,
like,
that gets back to what John Stewart was saying earlier. Nobody looks exactly. Let's look at what happened under the Patriot Act. You're hearing all sorts of people that were abused, either put in prison. There's people in prison, we don't even know who they are, and they've been there for 3 years, and they're not going to be released. They haven't even gotten a hearing yet. And the ACLU and all these things, they're always looked at as like, oh, my God, these horrible people in the ACLU. No, all they're doing is standing up for your civil rights. That's the only thing the ACLU has ever really done. And they're criticized for being some leftist organization or something. This is what you're wrestling with when this thing. You're looking at somebody that's defending your rights and somebody else that basically has a track record of just like, let's renew these acts so he can get rid of your civil rights.
Well, here's what he has to say about renewing the acts. It says here, Bush, his voice rising in apparent irritation, I love it when he's irritated, said lawmakers must act on a permanent renewal of the law that expanded the government's surveillance and prosecutorial powers against suspected terrorists, or people who don't vote for him, their associates and financiers. Noting the Patriot Act was overwhelmingly approved not long after the 2001 terrorist attacks he loves to do nothing about on New York and Washington. He said, political considerations now were getting in the way. And this is a quote from him. When it came time to renew the act, for partisan reasons, in my mind, people have not stepped up and have agreed that it's still necessary to protect the country, said the president, sitting at a table in the Roosevelt Room with federal officials and 19 district attorneys from around the country. The enemy has not gone away. They're still here. And I expect Congress to understand that we're still at war, and they got to give us the tools necessary to win this war, he said. And then he followed it up with a series of ums and blinking movements that nobody really understood. So, that's your president. So what do you think of that? They got to give us the tools.
He does that all the time with that ums and slice moves. In fact, it's not hard to get. I mean, that's what they criticize the left for, because they play his speeches unedited, and they say, "Well, you added all that stuff to it." And I said, "Well, no, they just didn't take out all the ums and ooms." And he says he makes him look like an idiot. And I said, "But that's how he is.
He is an idiot."
Yeah, it's like everybody forgets that. Before this was all started, and this is not to say that he's not drinking or whatever, but he did drink. He drank a lot. He did a lot of drugs early on. And I'm not saying that that's something we should criticize, that the fact he got clean. It's one thing to get clean. It's one thing to be in a state that you can never get out of. And that's where I think he still is. He's in denial over what he learned early on.
He's a dry drunk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's a difference between somebody that gets in that state and somebody that was endlessly in that state. And that's the reason I have to look at these things and say, well, you have to remember, he's like somebody drunk that gets you a Christmas present or something. It's just like, here's a Christmas present. Nah, enjoy it. It's like, wait a minute, man. That's not how it works.
This is the response from the party of irritation, the Democratic Party. Senator Russ Feingold, Democrat from Cheese Capital of the World, Wisconsin, said Bush should spend more time negotiating about the Patriot Act with Democrats and others on Capitol Hill and less on, quote, staged meetings with hand-picked participants at the White House. Contrary to the president's misleading comments, nobody wants to see the Patriot Act expire, Feingold said. We want common sense changes to the act that would give the government the power to combat terrorism and while protecting the rights and freedoms of law-abiding citizens. Now, are the Democrats ever going to get together and make some real noise about this, or is it sort of like just like
that's the criticism. Everybody forgets that the Congress is pretty much controlled right now, and it's been a Republican-controlled body for like what now, for like a year or two, more than a year or two, and they still haven't got it together enough to pass things through. And so before this, he was complaining that the Congress was just horrible because they were Democrat, and now he's just complaining that the Congress is horrible because they're not passing his things. But this is his Republican Congress.
Well, you see, the thing is, that's why I think it's actually a joke to talk about impeachment, because the House and the Senate is all Republicans. But digressing for one second, did I hear something on the news yesterday? Of course, it was Air America, about Kerry thinking about running again and maybe picking Obama.
I had not heard that, but that's certainly interesting news.
As his running mate.
I don't know that it's... Well, I don't know. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? It's hard to say. I mean, I think Kerry embarrassed himself pretty frequently. However, he's a familiar face, and that might help get the votes.
I mean, to tell you the truth, I liked John Edwards, and I like Obama. You know, I called in to kill Air America yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Well, their local station here in L.A., they wanted people to call in. And I called in, and I said... I was African-American, but I couldn't speak for all African-Americans. I mean, personally, I love John Kerry, you know, and I would vote for him again, you know, just because of, and I told him, because of the viciousness of that Swift boat. That was one of the most embarrassing things this country could ever deal with, you know, and I think he held his character really well, you know, behind all that Swift.
Well, I think that was part of the problem, is he held his character too well. If he had gotten angry and flown off the handle just a little bit, I think he probably would have gotten a lot more street cred with the young voters. He had this very stone-faced thing through all these blatant lies that were being thrown at him, and rather than deny them or explain them, he just kind of hoped that they would just go away. And so the Republicans just kept piling them higher and higher and higher, all these misstatements and misleading false truths.
What I think really needs to happen, I think, I don't even want to use the left, but the Democrats really need to unite. I think unless Kerry has all the Democrats behind him, he shouldn't run. Like, check this out, like 2 minutes after I called Air America, this other black guy called and said, well, I'm African American, I would never vote for Kerry. You know? So, I mean, I think... I heard he's actively raising money. I even got an email from him, from Kerry.
Oh, yeah?
Last week, yeah. I guess Move On they're sharing all the information.
We just have to remember to vote twice this time. Because if you just vote once, you know, those machines, they're rigged.
Yeah, well, that has never really been addressed. Isn't there going to be a paper trail at some point? I think that should be the major issue. Instead of, like, buying new machines that don't record your vote, I think we should actually go back to some place. I mean, you had somebody even like Carter, who, and I'm not saying it because he's a Democrat. I'm sure that everybody agrees. But when Carter, he's had experience running elections in other parts of the world. There's no electronics there. There's no machines. All there are is like paper and pencils, and they get a vote. Why can't we go back to paper and pencils and not know for 2 or 3 days, but at least then you know that there's a real paper thing, and put them in a room with naked people. And I say that not to be like scandalous or anything, but you know the naked people aren't going to have anything to change the vote. They go into a room, they give you a vote, and they come out, and you know, you put clothes on them at that point. But then they'd have a count. And it would be like, well, we put the guys in there with the vote, and they're saying, well, you know, you could always alter the vote or anything. And I said, but they don't have anything to alter with, you know? What are they going to alter with, you know?
That's interesting.
But it goes back to old technology is the best sometimes, you know? If you just had a piece of paper and a pencil and you voted that way. You know.
For the people in power at the moment, it's clearly more important that the Iraqi elections are more democratic than the ones here. I mean, that's...
And again, I just heard something earlier today. They said that the longest a person waited in the line to vote for the Iraqi election, they said, was like 2 hours, and people in Ohio waited 8 hours. Uh-huh. So what did that tell you?
Well, look, if they thought that they could win by being honest, then they would be honest. You know, yeah. They have to cheat. That's the only way they can win.
And the thing is, John, this guy who owns Diebold, he said like a year ago,
he'd deliver Ohio.
He said he would deliver Ohio. I mean, this.
And how can you look into it? How could you prove that there was a malfunction in any of the machines, that Ohio really shouldn't have gone to Bush, even though everyone I know from Ohio didn't vote for him? But, oh, whatever. So be it. That's the end of the Kill Radio News Hour for today, Tuesday, January 3rd, 2006. I was hoping we would solve all the world's problems, because it wasn't just me this time. I had Hassan and Marcel and DJ Chicken Leather. But maybe next time. So be well. Be very, very well.